Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, FJ at OffbeatOregon.com, and this is the thrice weekly Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. Thank you for queuing me up, and I hope you enjoy the show today. Not very many people think of Astoria, Oregon as a whaling city. The sinking of the whaling ship Maine on the Columbia River Bar in 1848, quite a long time ago, nipped plans for a fleet in the bud, and that was the end of Astoria's whaling industry, except for one small whaling venture launched there in 1961, that is. And that could have been the first of many, but wasn't. Anyway, here's how that went down. Local processing company BioProducts put the deal together. An enormous 90mm harpoon gun purchased from a Norwegian whaling operation was mounted on a large fishing vessel called the Tom and Al, owned by brothers Frank and Eben Parker, and it was sent out to sea to chase sperm whales. The big creatures were then brought back to Astoria and butchered out. The 1961 venture was more than a bit bizarre, looked at from a modern perspective. It was a coming together of the need of Oregon mink growers for large volumes of cheap protein and the need of the National Aeronautics and Space Administration for large volumes of whale oil. According to Frank's son, Frank Parker Jr., a big part of the reason the Parkers were hunting whales was the space program. Whale oil is an unusual substance. It can withstand extreme hot and cold conditions without breaking down or gelling up. So as NASA ramped up its space program efforts, it was buying whale oil and paying plenty for it. By 1963, though, new synthetic oils had been developed to get that job done, and the prices for whale oil plummeted. Whaling, even with modern implements, was a tough way to make a living, even with NASA buying the oil. With that profitable customer out of the market, BioProducts cut the prices it was paying the Parkers. It started to not make as much sense to run the boat. Then, apparently really feeling the pinch, BioProducts asked the Parkers to buy the harpoon gun. Quote, "There was not enough profit for us to do so," Frank Jr. recalled. "They replaced the 90mm with a 60mm, and it turned out to not be effective. I remember being out with them on a trip, and the harpoon bounced off the whale." You might think the discontinuation also had something to do with public relations. From a modern perspective, the whole idea is just breathtakingly unlovely. Killing an animal as big and charismatic as a whale to feed something as nasty as a mink, with the ultimate goal of killing the mink and turning it into a fur coat for some uber-rich person in Manhattan? Surely that plan was a stinker even 50 years ago, right? Not so much, Frank Jr. says, not in 1961. Quote, "There was really no negative feedback back then about hunting and killing whales," he said. "There was still a small shore-based operation near San Francisco. A flenser, that's a whale butcher, was hired from there. It was definitely a different time and different attitude. Local schools brought busloads of kids during the fall of 62 to view the operation. The University of Oregon and Oregon State sent researchers out with the boat and took samples at the shore site." Today, of course, Astoria and other Oregon seaports do a brisk business taking folks out onto the ocean to see the whales run. The idea of taking a shot at one seems utterly ludicrous, but for anyone who wants to see how they did it back in the era of commercial whale hunting, the harpoon cannon is on display. Looks to be the 60mm model, not the 90, along with a couple of the harpoons it fired and the exploding heads deactivated, of course, in the town of Hammond, just seaward from Astoria and Warrenton. It's hard to imagine what it must have been like to be a whale getting shot with one of those things. This article was first published on August 8th of 2011, under the headline, "Space Age Whalers Help Grow Fur Coats and Put a Man on the Moon." Key sources include works by Robert Lloyd Webb, Don Marshall, Cheryl Todd, and the personal recollections of Frank Parker Jr. Well, that's our show for today. Thanks again for listening, and I hope you enjoyed it. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. Check out our hub page at offbeatoregon.com to explore all the other things we do. Visuals that go with today's show can be found at offbeatoregon.com, where you will also find full citations to the sources for this story. The podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. For details of that, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band and was written by Carmen Ficarra. Listen and download more at atlasstringband.com. Got an idea for a show I should do or just want to say hi? Drop me a line at fj@offbeatoregon.com or ping me on Twitter at @offbeatoregon or send a message through the Facebook page at facebook.com/oregon.1859. Also, do let me know if you're ever going to be in Corvallis with time for a cup of coffee or a pint of Hammerhead and an inclination to talk about Oregon history. Fresh episodes of Offbeat Oregon History come your way around 6 a.m. every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday morning. So if you're looking forward to the next one, well, you haven't got long to wait. Until then, go fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.